A Your Vote 2017 roundtable discussion of ballot question one, which, if approved, would allow slot machines or a casino in York County. Maine has two casinos, the Oxford Casino in Western Maine and Hollywood Casino in Bangor. If question one passes, it would open the door for a third, to be located somewhere in York County. Supporters of question one point to its potential economic benefits, from money for education to jobs in York County. Opponents, including Governor Paul LePage, call the casino a phony deal that would only benefit one man, Sean Scott. And the legislature's Government Oversight Committee is investigating how the backers collected signatures. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we debate ballot question one with its primary backer, Sean Scott, and a legislator who has been spearheading the investigation into the campaign, Louis Lucchini. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Today, a Your Vote 2017 election special on question one on the November ballot. It reads, do you want to allow a certain company to operate table games and or slot machines in York County, subject to state and local approval, with parts of the profits going to the specific programs described in the initiative? Today, we'll hear from both sides of this issue. With me in the studio, Representative Louis Lucchini, who is serving his fourth term in the Maine House of Representatives, representing Ellsworth and Trenton. Sean Scott is the primary backer of Yes on Question 1. He's vice chairman and director of business development for Bridge Capital, LLC. As always, we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about ballot question one? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. And before I turn to our guests, I want to stress that the whole point of this Maine Calling program, your opportunity to ask questions about this ballot initiative that affects you. Sean Scott, I'm going to start with you. You've worked 2 years to get this measure on the ballot. Why do you believe it's a good deal for Maine?
We believe question one is a great opportunity for Maine because it'll provide 2,100 new jobs. It'll provide $45 million of new tax revenue every year. And it's a $200 million project that would be an investment into Maine. It also provides a $5 million upfront license fee, which this would be the first gaming resort to do that. And all of that comes behind the 2014 White Sands report, which suggested a Southern Maine gaming resort would be a great thing for Maine to keep the dollars, the jobs inside of Maine. Because for years, many years, tens of millions of dollars and a lot of jobs have been going to other New England gaming resorts. And it's set to get much worse with the opening of the giant $2.4 billion resort in Boston a little over a year from now.
Louis Lucchini, your turn. Why is this a bad deal for Maine?
Well, first of all, thanks, Jennifer, for having me on. I've been pretty public with my opinion. I think question one is a terrible deal for the state of Maine. First and foremost, as a policy, it's a law that's written for the financial benefit of one person by granting his company the sole eligibility for a casino in Southern Maine. So at its core, I see it as an anti-competitive law that goes against any free market concepts and that will grant just one person a license for this casino. And as was just mentioned, I think the value of this casino license has been estimated at around $200 million, which, if Mr. Scott, I don't know what his intention is, but if he were to flip it, then I think he'd be able to make that $200 million right away. And that's something which I think we've seen him do before in other states. As we've gone through this campaign, I think that potential for a huge profit is why this campaign team has spent over $4 million just to get this question on the ballot. As many people know, they're still under an ethics investigation for campaign finance violations. And there's been millions more spent on this campaign ever since. And as you've seen, the signs that are kind of all over the sides of the streets, they don't mention the word casino anywhere. The TV ads don't speak the word casino. I think we have to be honest about what this is. It's a casino bill that offers it to one person. And, you know, I think it's pretty rare that you get a referendum question that you see Governor LePage, Mark Eves, and Janet Mills all agree on. But this one has been a pretty united front against this question.
Sean, let's talk about one of the biggest knocks on that campaign is that you're the only one who can hold the license, and it's probably that license probably worth something like $200 million. What assurances can you give today that you're going to actually invest in this facility and not flip the license like you did in Bangor?
Well, my family and I have been spending time and investing in Maine for nearly 20 years, so we're not planning on leaving anytime soon. But the process available to us, which is the Citizens Initiative process, is the only process under which we can bring a resort like this to Maine. It's the process that the Bangor Historic Raceway went through in 2003 that we were a part of. It's the process that the Oxford Casino went through in 2010. Those two facilities currently are producing about $160 million a year and over 1,000 jobs. And we have no exclusivity on the initiative process. The initiative process has been part of Maine since 1908. The people of Maine are used to making decisions. They don't need politicians or anybody else telling them what's good for them. They're very smart. They're independent, and they know what's good for them. And so the initiative process has been available to the people of Maine to provide or put forth an idea so that the voters could vote it up or down for a long time, well over 100 years. And that's the process we're going through. Anyone else is free to use that process. They could propose the same idea we have next door to us if that's what they want to propose. No one is shut out of that process. So there is no exclusivity. It's just we went through those steps, and anyone else can too, just like the last two facilities did.
Okay, but that wasn't my question. My question is, are you going to build this casino, or are you going to sell the license to someone else?
Our plan is to develop the property ourselves. We've already located a few different properties, parcels of land that we're looking at. There are several cities and towns that have already contacted us interested in this. So we're not planning on leaving anytime soon. Our plan is to keep this, is to develop this great resort.
Louis Lucchini, you mentioned people who are opposed to this, but there are also some of your fellow lawmakers who are supporting this deal who say, we cannot turn up our collective noses, I believe is what the editorial said, at this kind of funding for things like education. What do you say to that?
You know, I think looking at the potential funding that could be raised by this is being short-sighted. I think the important thing to recognize is that this has a value of $200 million and that we're simply going to let one person get that and take that $200 million after it's flipped. So that in and of itself is $200 million that should stay within the state of Maine, whether it's as revenues for license fees for a casino through a competitive bid process or if it's $200 million spent to ensure that it's a sound facility. One of the big problems with this law, it doesn't require any nice facility be built. This license could be flipped. That new company could build whatever they want. It could be a warehouse with slot machines and tables.
All right. So can you give us assurances, and can you describe for us, Sean, what you are going to build?
Sure. What we're talking about building is what we call the York County Resort and Event Center. And it'll have a hotel. It'll have fine dining restaurants. And to worry about something not being a part of the resort, you look at Bangor, what was finally built there? The Cross Center, they have restaurants, there's other hotels.
But you didn't build that.
Our efforts were brought about what happened in Bangor. And you can ask the city council people, of which several I know. You can ask business owners. I was just up there the other day. I've been there several times just in the last few months. So what our efforts, we're developers. We develop facilities. And just like Penn National doesn't own Hollywood Slots, a real estate investment trust owns the building and owns the facility. They're operators. We'll bring in the best operators to make the best facility so that we can offer the most competitive product for Maine, because we have to compete with Boston. If we don't do something in Southern Maine and we wait for the legislature, which has been we've been waiting 20 years, they still haven't done anything. If we wait for them, these jobs, these dollars, these investments, these tax dollars are all going to get diverted to Boston.
But to DeLouis' point, this is not mandated in the ballot question.
The ballot question refers only to the gaming initiative. That's the only part that requires an initiative to it. You can build a hotel, you can build an event center, you can build restaurants. Those things don't need to be in the initiative because citizens don't need to vote on those items. Unfortunately, in Maine, the gaming part has to go through the Citizens Initiative process, just like it did in the other two facilities.
Louis, you are as member of the legislature and because of your role there, part of the investigation into this referendum process. Where does that stand today? And what happens if a violation is found?
Right. Well, Senator Mason, Garrett Mason, and I, he's my co-chair of the committee, we both filed this ethics complaint to the Ethics Commission. And so they're pursuing it now. We did it because we noticed some irregularities within their campaign finance documents. You know, in particular, it showed all of the campaign contributions coming through one individual, which was something of a red flag. Simultaneously, there was a situation going on in Massachusetts with many of the similar players where they got caught and fined for intentionally disguising the true source of financing. So we wanted to get to the bottom of who was actually financing this because we felt it's unfair to the Maine voters to not know who's actually paying for this concept. So since we filed the complaint, some of the reports have been amended. I believe the Ethics Commission is going to meet on the 31st. I don't know if they're ready for a ruling or not, but, you know, I think the violations, the campaign finance violations, you know, are serious. Mainers shouldn't be in the dark on who's actually paying for this to go through.
If there's a violation found, though, is it a fine or is the entire referendum question thrown out?
Well, the way the Constitution reads, you can't throw out the question, so it will be on the ballot, as far as I can read. But there could be a large financial fine, and I think that's completely appropriate here.
Sean Scott, it wasn't until the prodding by the legislature and the Ethics Commission that the information was disclosed. Why didn't you disclose the information about the funders earlier?
We were up front from the beginning. In 2015, if you read the wording in the initiative, it specifically outlines our role in developing the facility. We're the same people that developed the Bangor approval process and got that off to what it became today. And there's no doubt who's behind it. That is listed in the initiative. It's filed. Everyone that signed the petition, that's on the papers. There's no way anyone could not know that. That's been clear from day one.
So the funding is you and your company, period.
Our funding has been, since 2015, transparent and compliant, to my knowledge. If they decide that there's a late filing or anything like that, they'll stand behind it. But I don't see that as a reason for the voters and anyone, even the legislature, to come out against our initiative, which is going to create 2,100 jobs. That's crazy. If there's a fine, so be it. It should be paid. No one's running from that.
Louis?
Right. Well, I disagree. I think that it's been very opaque, the process, by listing one individual as the person. And then once the files were amended, that we saw that money's coming from overseas investment firms as well as an LLC in Nevada. You know, it looks a lot like what happened in Massachusetts, where the group admitted to intentionally disguising the source of financing.
Sean, I think at the beginning of the program you said this would create 2,100 new jobs in York County. York County has a 2.7 unemployment rate. Neighboring Rockingham County is a 2.8% unemployment rate. Where will these workers come from?
Well, workers can come from anywhere throughout the state. The money and the jobs and the tax revenue will benefit the entire state. So workers can come from any part of the state. There's people out of work in various parts of the state, often, as you point out, in the more rural places. They should be offered the same opportunities as people in the urban areas. If they want to come to work at a facility like this and receive benefits, full benefits, they want to receive a pay that you can raise a family on, they should have that opportunity. They shouldn't only face the option of moving out of state. These kind of jobs should be available right here.
Louis, what's interesting to me is that this debate and what I'm seeing on television and reading in the papers really doesn't have anything to do with gambling. Is this part of your opposition to the idea of building a casino in southern Maine? Are you opposed to the idea of gambling and are others who are working with you?
Well, you know, the campaign commercials and ads amaze me because you never see or hear the word casino. And if you wanted to build a convention center and concert hall, you could do that tomorrow. But it's really about a casino, and it's really about flipping that casino for a lot of money. I think that's the reality of the situation.
All right. And Sean, why don't your ads say that it's going to be casino?
Well, actually, I've cut several radio ads and at least one TV ad. The ads do say casino. And I think everyone understands that the York County Gaming Initiative involves a casino. I don't think that's news to anybody. but it's in many of our ads. It's on our print. That's not a secret. I think that people are looking at the opposition anyway is focused on the 2,100 new jobs, the $45 million in tax revenue, the $200 million investment. They lose on those arguments. It's hard to counter those benefits because if you talk to people in Bangor or Oxford, of course, you know, they talk about those benefits. So nitpicking about whether the word casino or gaming resort is in the ad, I think everybody understands we're talking about a gaming resort. I don't think there's a lack of clarity. It's in the initiative. If you read the initiative, it's there. It's always been there.
If the referendum passes and you choose a location, does it then have to be approved by voters in that town?
Excellent point. Any host community has to support this. So wherever it goes, it's subject to constant oversight. There's planning boards, zoning boards. There's a lot of regulatory hurdles to overcome. So if we pass on November the 7th, this just keeps the conversation going. It doesn't end there. There's oversight every step of the way.
All right. Louis, do you have a response to that?
Well, as far as the resort part, I'll just harken back to that the fact that the law does not require a resort to be built. And those 2,100 jobs, I see those as completely empty promises based on this resort concept, which isn't required by law. It was the same thing that we saw at Oxford. The developers of Oxford said they were going to create over 1,000 jobs, and they ended up building just a very basic gambling facility, no resort. The casino might have just opened up a hotel or might do it very soon now, 10 years later. So those are promises that aren't guaranteed in law, and that's a really bad policy to set. We're just saying we're going to give one person this casino, and then we're going to trust that you do the right thing.
All right. And do you find in your among legislators, is support and opposition divided along party lines? Or you mentioned Janet Mills and Governor LePage being on the same side. What about in the legislature?
I've honestly never seen any subject that's unified Democrats and Republicans as strongly as this topic. And we were in all day yesterday in special session on very controversial issues. But this is one that there's a solid united front against this casino proposal. And even these promises of money going to programs, this and that, anybody who knows how the legislature works knows that you can't guarantee money goes to anything. The state and the governor make a budget based on our constitutional obligation, and no money can be guaranteed just because, you know, you rewrite it into a referendum question.
All right, Sean, where do you say the money is going, and what kind of guarantees do we have?
Well, a big chunk of the money goes to schools, and if you look at the report from the state of Maine, of course, being in the legislature, everyone has access to these state reports, shows that $17.5 million last year went to Department of Education for grades K through 12. So it outlines where the money goes, and this is what happened last year. This isn't a question. So he brings up a good point. The only one that can rob the money from the schools is the legislature themselves, if that's what they choose to do. But it's not what happened last year or the year before or the year before. And hopefully they don't do that next year, because our budget, our $45 million allocates $11 million for additional money for K through 12. So that he's right. The only one that can take that money or rob that money is them. Hopefully they don't do it. They didn't do it last year, and hopefully they don't do it next year. So when they say, you know, we can't specifically stop them from taking the money, well, that's a good point, but hopefully they won't, just as they didn't do it last year. And this is about $53 million that came out of the two facilities that exist last year. These are real dollars that make a real difference. And that's before you think about all the people that are supporting their family with jobs at these two facilities.
This is Maine Calling. We do have to take a quick break. We're talking about ballot question one, which would allow a casino to be built in York County. I'm here with Representative Louis Lucchini and Sean Scott, who is the primary backer of the casino referendum. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Freemasons in Maine, supporting Maine Public Radio's efforts to provide knowledge, wisdom, and entertainment to the people of Maine.
On the next Fresh Air, how climate change, rising sea levels, and extreme weather are affecting American cities. We talk with Jeff Goodell, the author of The Water Will Come. He's a contributing editor at Rolling Stone and has covered climate change for 15 years. We'll also talk about how the Trump administration is rolling back regulations designed to slow climate change. Join us.
Fresh Air tonight on Maine Public Radio at 7 o'clock.
Have you found yourself following the news a bit more closely lately? Are you finding that Maine Public Radio keeps track of all the issues that are important to you? Well, you're not alone. Hi, Charles Beck here. That's what this service does, provides you with in-depth reporting and analysis, and you know it's a service you can trust. Public Radio trusts that you will do your part, too, to keep this service alive by supporting it financially. You can do that on Super Thursday, our One Day and Let's Keep It That Way campaign on November 2nd, by calling 800-866-1475 or pledging online at mainpublic.org. Or you can jumpstart the campaign and do it now. It will count. Thank you so much.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, a Your Vote 2017 debate over ballot question one, whether Maine should allow a casino to be built in York County. With me in the studio, Sean Scott, the primary backer of Yes on One, and Representative Louis Lucchini is serving his fourth term in the Maine House of Representatives. We invite you to join the conversation. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. And I'll start with a Facebook post. This is from Elaine. She writes, already the casino king is not answering questions directly. Jennifer asks whether he's intending to flip this property, and all he says is, quote, he's not leaving anytime soon. Right. And I'm going to put this together with a tweet. Please make Sean answer yes or no if he is going to sell his license. Development is not ownership. Are you going to sell the license?
We have no intention to sell this license.
No intention to, or?
No plan. I mean, we can argue over if it's going to rain next Wednesday, but I can tell you we're here to stay. We've been here nearly 20 years. We've invested in Maine. We've created jobs in Maine, and we've created tax revenue in Maine, and that's our plan to do in York County.
Louis, you don't believe him, do you?
I don't. I mean, are you personally, you know, my question would be, are you personally going to apply for that license? Because I think as we've seen historically, that's been an issue for you in other states where they've rejected your applications for licensure. So it could either be a sold license or selling a company.
I've been licensed. My family's been licensed repeatedly in different places. Licensing is always political, just like what we're dealing with right here. Mr. Lucchini actually asked for the investigation. This is a very political process, a lot of mudslinging. But at the end of the day, if you look at Bangor, if you look at other facilities we've developed around the country, the jobs and the tax revenues go on forever. And that's a great thing for any economy.
All right. We'll go to Susan, who's calling from Rockport. Hi, Susan. Go ahead.
Hi. What I'm concerned about is they promise money to go to different areas. Education, that's always the first one, this. And the elderly seem to get the smallest amount out of the pot. Is there any way to guarantee that they will get a bigger share?
You know, well, one thing that I've found through all of these campaigns, I've seen dozens of campaign bills and proposals come before us, and each time the proponents behind the casino will use that tax distribution as a way to campaign for the casino by talking about how many great things it's going to do for all these other programs, when really it's a casino tax that is supposed to go to the state, but they use that and say, well, we're going to give this portion of this to all these groups, and they end up cutting it into very small pieces so that they cover just about everybody to try to build support. So ultimately, to your question, you know, the budgeting process is done by the governor. He proposes a budget, and then the legislature approves it. So that's the process by which we have to do our budgeting in the state of Maine.
Sean?
Well, I think we can look to the past for some direction of what will likely happen in the future. Last year, the two gaming facilities provided $53 million in tax revenue to the state. That's a lot of money from just two buildings. $17.5 million went to education. You go down the cascade, you've got tax relief, you have some health care money, it covers a lot of places. But every year to have $53 million in tax revenue, and we could increase that by another $45 million. We're approaching $100 million this industry can produce for Maine. Now, allocating it, these are all suggestions. They're in the law. Yes, that's true. However, the legislature, of course, has the right to divert money, but That's not what they did last year. They put the $17.5 million into our education, and there's no reason to believe they're going to do different next year. So this is a lot of money, $100 million this industry can create, and 2,100 brand new jobs. $5 million is the upfront license fee at this new York County facility, and it would be the first gaming resort in the state to pay that, because that's what was recommended by the state's own professional report done in 2014, referred to as the White Sands Report.
All right, Susan, thanks for your question. We have a tweet from Carrie. The other two casinos came to Maine this very same way. Why wouldn't anyone want this industry to grow? Louie.
Well, I think first and foremost, just because the other two have come this way doesn't mean that it's the best thing for the state of Maine. Fundamentally, we're going to be giving one person basically a winning lottery ticket for $200 million. If the state had a groundswell of support and wanted to have a casino, we could do it and do it with a competitive bid that would ensure that that $200 million stays here in the state of Maine. I don't see why we would encourage any policy that would give one person who doesn't live in Maine, and I don't know where you live, but why would we give one person a casino without a competitive bid process?
If we waited on the legislature, we would still be waiting nearly 20 years later without a gaming industry, without the $53 million that we got last year, without the 1,000 jobs that we had last year. So if we waited on the legislature, we'd be left behind. All this money would end up going to Boston and other New England resorts. So, of course, it would be nice if the legislature took the ball and developed a comprehensive plan, but 2 decades is long enough to wait. This is an opportunity that's here now, and if we stand on the sidelines and let Boston take our money and take our jobs, they'll be very difficult if we ever get them back at all.
We'll go to Representative Deanne Rikerson calling from Kittery. Hi, go ahead.
Thanks, Jennifer. My name is Dean, but yeah.
I'm sorry. Typo here.
That's all right. I'm on the Governor Oversight Committee, and we did look at the web of entities that were involved in this referendum process. Some of them, we don't even know their addresses or who they are. So I don't think it's been a straightforward process. But another thing we found out was the number of convictions, Mr. Scott, that you've had in other states and other countries. In Laos, you were convicted. The country of Laos, and in Massachusetts, you were fined $125,000. I have a very straightforward question. I was wondering if you could list your convictions in other states and other countries that you've had against you in the past 10 years.
Yes, and let me clarify. We have no convictions. There are no convictions. That's a false statement, and you should check your records because you are entirely incorrect, 100% incorrect. So what you're trying to say is that every time there's a political process and there's mudslinging, you're calling that a conviction, but you're wrong. You're just flat out wrong. So please check your facts because you're entirely incorrect. And to try to use a government agency to stop the people from voting, the initiative process has been in Maine for over 100 years. To try to use a government agency to stop the people from voting and deciding an issue is just plain wrong.
Go ahead, Louis.
Thanks. You know, I think if we're going to pass a law that allows one person to have a casino, we should know a lot about that person. And what has been particularly frustrating for legislators is that this has been a very opaque process. We don't know who's behind this. We don't know where the money's coming from. People are not cooperating. It hasn't been a transparent process. So I guess the question to voters is, do we really just want to trust this one person that we don't know to run this casino?
Representative Rikerson, thanks for your call. We're going to go to Elizabeth calling from York. Hi, Elizabeth. Go ahead.
Hi. I have two things. I'd like to say that I disagree with Sean Scott concerning his comment about the clarity of the commercials. I have seen many of these commercials on TV. There is no mention of the word casino. There's perhaps a mention at the bottom saying paid for in tiny, tiny print that nobody can read, but his commercials are very, very deceptive. So I'd like him to check his facts. I'm also concerned about water usage living in York County and the drought that we have in this state. And I imagine if the facility is built as he describes it, the water usage would be intense. And I wonder if anything has been brought up about that. Thank you.
Thank you, if I can respond. If you listen to the radio show, Ray Richards, I was on that show. We talked about the casinos quite a long time. If you've listened to the radio ads on his stations and others up north as well, I'm the one who cut the commercials, and we use the word casino repeatedly. So actually, maybe you saw an ad that didn't use the word casino, but there are a lot of ads that do, and I cut them myself personally, so I know they exist.
Well, what about the TV ads? I've seen those as well. Why are they different?
Some of the ads I'm in, some of the ads I'm not in. The ones that I'm in, I've used the word casino repeatedly. And as far as water usage, of course, our resort would be subject to oversight every step of the way. So we want to work with government agencies and the town or city that we wind up in as a host community. We want to make it efficient. We'll do everything we can. We'll do our part in conservation.
Louis?
You know, one of the things that I've found kind of frustrating when we hear these commercials from Mr. Scott saying how important it is that we keep a casino in Southern Maine to keep the money from going to Boston, you know, it ignores the fact that, 10, 15 years ago when Bangor was being here, or it was first being created, Mr. Scott himself campaigned against a Southern Maine casino. And he financed a PAC that helped try to shoot down the opportunity for a casino in Southern Maine at Scarborough Downs. And it was, I mean, I don't know why, but it obviously wasn't an opportunity for him to make money on that.
Sean?
The horse industry, which is a big part of the state of Maine, there's quite a rivalry between Bangor and the Southern Scarborough racetrack. Those are the only two commercial racetracks in the state. So there's quite a rivalry among them. We've tried to stay focused on just developing our projects. But we do work with the horse industry. We work with them a lot. They're very active. Whatever we can do to help them, we try to do. But in the process, of course, there's rivalry.
Elaine on Facebook asks, a state with an opioid problem wants to create a gambling problem as well. It's the only issue on which I've ever agreed with LePage. Thoughts?
Well, part of our money goes to education, drug education. It goes to health care. One of the ways to combat that issue is more tax revenue to provide more people with help. And this proposal provides $45 million of new tax revenue every year.
And I think to that point, you know, if you watch the TV commercials, you'd think this proposal was all about unicorns, rainbows, and, you know, butterflies. But there are a lot of negative effects that come with casinos that never get mentioned. And I think people have to ask themselves if this is the type of economic development that we want, first and foremost, and if it is, if we want to just give it to one person.
We're going to go to Steve, who's calling from Orono. Hi, Steve. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
How you doing? Look, I wasn't for the casino and Mr. Scott's proposal, but the more I'm listening to it, I mean, it's almost like the legislature has been asleep at the wheel.
How do you mean?
On economic development, and then they've had 10, 15 years to tighten up on all these problems that Louis's talking about, but they haven't done anything. Now, it doesn't sound like Mr. Scott, you know, you don't believe Mr. Scott, but, you know, the state believed the folks that invested in Millinocket and invested down in Brunswick, the aircraft company that hasn't paid their bill. We've tons and millions of dollars of TIFs the legislature approved, you know, and so, you know, it is a crapshoot, I guess, but you know, then is Mr. Scott going to require any funds from the state of Maine for his proposal? Is he going to need any TIF money? I don't know. But I think the legislature is asleep at the wheel. Is they did not tighten up on these rules, and now it's sour grapes. They didn't do anything. They can't get along, and that's why they don't do anything. And now we're after Mr. Scott because the legislature didn't do the job. I mean, and where are the jobs the legislature's helped create in the state? And he's right to that effect that who's gonna bring in $100 million to the state of Maine? People who want to feed their families, heat their house, they don't care if they're shoveling cow manure or they're working at a casino. They just want a job.
Gotcha, Steve. I'll turn that to you, Louis Lucchino, because you served in the and have served for four terms in the legislature. What about the macro criticism that you know, we're not doing enough in this state to help people.
Right. Well, you know, I think it's important that we work on things to bolster economic development. The question we have to ask ourselves is this the type of economic development that we want? And if we think a non-competitive process works. You know, I chair the committee along with Senator Mason that oversees the citizen initiative process. And this really is a situation where one person's taking advantage of that citizen's initiative process and is able to pay a great deal of money to get people to go out and collect signatures so that they can put a law on the books that benefits themselves. And if we look at the history from Mr. Scott, and I don't begrudge anybody for trying to make money, but if we look at the history, I don't see the intention to build anything. I see the intention to flip a license.
And Sean, Lenny on Twitter has a similar point. Mainers don't need one privileged guy to bestow us with opportunity.
Well, no one has a monopoly or an exclusive right on the citizens' initiative process. All of us here have a right, and I would encourage anyone to put forth an idea for the voters to vote upon. There's no exclusivity in that. And as to the previous question, our facility would pay a $5 million upfront license fee. We're not asking for a TIF or some government sponsorship or tax rebate. We're not asking for any of those things.
$5 million or $50
million? $5 million upfront license fee and $45 million every year in tax revenue. Let's get that real clear. So before anything happens, we have to pay a $5 million license fee upfront and $45 million every year. And that money gets distributed throughout every city and town and county in Maine. So how many businesses? The tourism industry is among the largest industries in the state of Maine. And more gaming and tourism goes together.
Is the $45 million an estimated based on revenue or requirement of the referendum?
It's an estimate that came out of the econometric study, and it came out of the state legislature's own report done in 2014. The state legislature spent $150,000 on a 142-page report in 2014, basically saying, how best should we develop the gaming industry so it's for the benefit of all people in Maine? And they said on that report, it's still sitting there, it's online, we can all read it. And it's a great report, it's done by experts, it tells you what we should do. And that's what the initiative mirrors. That's why we put the $5 million upfront license fee. That's not our idea. That's the report that the legislature commissioned. That was developed by their experts. The cascade of where the money goes. That's all there.
Sure. I want to get Representative Lucchini to say something before we get to go to a break.
And I drafted the bill that commissioned the report. And, you know, I think it's important to recognize that it has a $5 million license fee, but it also requires a $250 million minimum capital investment to come with it. And it specifically says it needs to be in a competitive bid. And I've spoken to the consultants from White Sand Gaming, and they said they do not think this referendum is the proper way to go forward with casino regulations. It's simply a bad bill and a bad deal for Maine.
Okay, but before we take a quick break, a word about tomorrow's program. The sign-up period for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act begins November 1st. Our guests will answer questions about changes to the ACA and what you need to know if you're planning on signing up or changing your plan. So think now about your Affordable Care Act questions and email them to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet us, or post to our Facebook page. You're listening to Maine Calling, and we'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Cross Jewelers, devoted to creating reflections of love with diamonds, Maine tourmaline, and precious metals, on Congress Street in Portland, or at crossjewelers.com. And Mimic, a workers' compensation insurance company dedicated to safer workplaces, fair treatment for all workers, and a strong Maine economy, on the web at Mimic.com.
Under Chinese President Xi Jinping, hundreds of thousands of officials have been investigated for corruption.
It's just changed the way people think and the way people do things, and I think that's going to sustain.
I'm Robert Siegel. Why China's president has waged war on corruption and what it means for ordinary citizens this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon from 4 until 6:30 here on Maine Public Radio.
Well, Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, a Your Vote 2017 discussion about ballot question one, whether to allow a casino to be built in York County. Joining me today, Representative Louis Lucchini, serving his fourth term in the Maine House of Representatives, representing Ellsworth and Trenton. Sean Scott is the primary backer of Yes on question one. Join our conversation. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. We have a question from Facebook. This is from Michelle. How much money comes out of our economy on gambling by Maine residents and then goes out of state as profits?
You know, that's a good question. Our two existing casinos are owned by corporations, public corporations. So they take, you know, the majority of the profits, and then we assess a tax rate to that. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but a lot of the profit goes out of state.
I would say the thing to look at, there are more than 1,000 casinos across America now. Nearly every state has casinos, and Maine has been a little bit behind this curve. If you look at other states with a similar population, like maybe Idaho or Nebraska with around 9 casinos, or even Montana with close to 20 casinos, they're similar populations. But we've been left behind with this economic development. And in light of the Boston Resort, which is half built, going to open in a little over a year, we're going to see our tourism dollars and our jobs and our tax revenue get diverted there. And that's why now it's crucial to make a decision to be part of the tourism industry, which the gaming industry is part of the tourism industry.
Paul in Bangor, go ahead.
It's great to have the revenue and it's great to support jobs. But with this big Boston thing going in, my biggest question since day one is, can the state sustain 3 casinos? Quick example, Penobscot High Stakes Bingo on Indian Island just outside of Old Town, a fixture here for decades, they folded because of the casino in Bangor. The big worry is, can the state, tourism and everybody, can the state continue to support and support well 3 casinos?
Sure. Sean Scott, are you going
Yes.
to be stealing business from the other 2 casinos by building one in York County?
Well, all we have to do is look at the 2 reports. These are 2 reports by national experts. The first one is in 2014, done by the state legislature. And basically it says that for the benefit of Maine, a southern Maine gaming resort is the way to go, because that's what will produce the most revenue and the most tax revenue and the most jobs. Basically, when 2010, when Oxford was on the ballot, Bangor said, many people in Bangor said, oh, the sky is falling, Bangor will close. What really happened? At the end of the day, we had twice the jobs and twice the tax revenue. That's what these reports say, and that's what we believe too. So if you look at other states with a similar population, they have more than twice the casinos that we're talking here. So if you look around the country, definitely the market can absorb it. And if you look at the Boston Resort getting ready to open in a little over a year, I think they're projecting around $800 million in revenue. A big chunk of that is coming out of southern Maine. So those are dollars and jobs that we should keep in our state.
All right, Louis, can we support 3 casinos in the state of Maine?
You know, I think that's a really good question. The report that was referenced, they recommended dropping the tax rate on each casino down to 35%, which is over a 10% decrease, in order to prevent cannibalization if we were to open another casino. You could just look at the Bangor numbers. You know, Bangor, when Oxford opened, and they aren't very close to each other, it hit revenues by 20%. So, you know, I have no doubt that opening a new casino will hurt those 2 rurally located or further up north located casinos. I have no doubt that that will happen.
Paul, thanks for your question. April on Facebook asks, is there any data on the demographic of those spending at casinos? Is there data indicating that casinos and or gaming institutions rely on elderly and or low-income populaces?
You know, I don't have any of that data on hand, but I think if you take a walk through some of the casinos, you can see that there's often a lot of elderly people, you know, playing the games. And when we were looking at the state lottery, that's something that appears that more low-income people play than higher income. So you have to question the value of these revenues that would be coming in through a new casino.
Also, the average amount spent across the country is anywhere from $45 to $65. So it's not an enormous amount of money. It's like going out to dinner, going to the movies, or anything else you might do for the evening. Most of these regional gaming properties, the average spend per customer is quite reasonable.
An email from Phil: the government has no business balancing the state's budget or otherwise professing to improve the circumstances of Maine's people by licensing casinos. Casinos profit largely on the backs of people who are overwhelmed by their own circumstances. I want to see Maine attract industry, real industry. Gambling casinos do not constitute industry. The reason this proposal includes a $5 million upfront licensing fee is because the backers know perfectly well that it would not otherwise fly. Sean.
Well, the tourism industry is one of the biggest industries in the state of Maine. If you look at different reports, anywhere from 16 to 20% of the working people here are somehow tied into the tourism industry. And gaming is part of the tourism industry. If you look across the country, more and more, gaming is one of the amenities offered to bring tourists to a location. It's like you don't buy cars without air conditioning very often anymore. Tourism destinations, more and more, always have a gaming amenity.
And Louis, I guess you agree with Phil.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we have to ask ourselves if this is the type of economic development if we want to pop up several casinos. You know, I'm not fundamentally opposed to casino gambling, but, you know, I live up in Ellsworth near MDI. It's a beautiful area. You know, I don't think the tourists are going to come here for casino gambling. We're not here to compete with Las Vegas. We're here because we offer the Maine brand and the beautiful state that we have. So popping casinos up all over the place, I don't think is going to be helpful. And in addition to that, the proximity that people live to casinos has been correlated to problem gambling issues. So there is a social cost that could rise. And the more casinos that we have, the more people who live near them, the greater of a chance that we have for problem gambling. And then we have to foot the bill for the social cost that comes with that.
All right. We'll go to Rosario calling from Whitefield. Hi. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi, Jennifer. First of all, I'm a Maine harness horseman person. I've had horses for years and family. And it's quite an industry in the state of Maine. So we are tied up in this on the agricultural part of that coming through. I have a question for Louis. LD 1280, I spent more time than I wanted to at the legislature last year. I don't know how we voted for sure, but I like to see how we voted and his reason for voting that down. We had it a couple times. It fell through. And the other quick comment is he keeps referring to like $200 million flip. Now, I don't know how legislature works, but if I was going to pay $200 million for a license, I certainly wouldn't do it in a warehouse. I would have some place, a facility that was going to make money. So I like to hear the comment on that. And my look is some money is better than none. We're gambling up to our necks in the state of Maine. It's part of us. It's not something bad or good. It's what you choose to do. So I'll wait for that and, like I say, see what you've got to say.
Thank you, Rosario.
Sure. Thanks for the question. For LD 1280, when it came out of our committee, I actually voted for a minority report that would put together a competitive bid process structured like the White Sand reports. Ultimately, that had no chance of passing, and I ended up voting against the bill as written with LD 1280 because it didn't maximize the potential for a casino as recommended by our consultants.
All right. Thanks for your question, Rosario. I have a tweet that says, where does Mr. Scott live? He didn't answer that.
I live in Saipan. It's a U.S. territory next to Guam, and some of the proud things we have there is we have one of the highest per capita enlistment for joining and serving in the military. Like any small town in the U.S., a very tight-knit community, and it's a great place.
An email from Sue regarding all the jobs promised. What is the median salary for these jobs? Most service industry jobs in hotels, restaurants, etc., do not provide a living wage. How will these jobs compare?
Well, if you look at the jobs produced in Bangor and you look at the jobs produced in Oxford, they're well above average. They usually include benefits, and certainly ours will include benefits. So you're looking well into the 30s and sometimes even a little higher. They're, of course, all based upon basically experience and things like that. But what you see in a new industry such as this is upward mobility. There's always room for people to move up the ladder and earn more and gain more skills in a new industry like that. And you see that a lot in the gaming industry.
You know, I think when we look at the jobs that are going to be created, you know, we're hearing a lot of promises. And I keep coming back to that because You know, Mr. Scott just said that he lives in Saipan, but at the same time said he wants to be here for the long haul and that he's going to get a license. So, I mean, we are literally voting on question one and just hoping that he does the right thing and that he doesn't just flip this and make $200 million. I mean, I think that's a big ask for voters of Maine.
Michael asks in an email, one, how many customers do you hope your casino will attract each week? Two, will alcohol be provided to your customers who drive to and from your casino? And three, how will Maine's roads handle the traffic jams?
Well, if you look at the locations that we've analyzed, many of them are right off of the belt, the freeway, the turnpike. They have good access. So we want to minimize any traffic issues, and we've done that. As far as offering fine dining and liquor sales, we'll be similar to Bangor, similar to Oxford, in that we will offer those amenities. But the big thing is we want a year-round resort. We want a place where we can have events, we can have concerts, musical events, things like that. We have to compete with a very, very nice resort that is already partially built in Boston. So we can't just build, as some people have said, a metal building with slot machines. That won't work in York County because we're competing with a very nice facility that's actually nearly, you know, more than halfway done in Boston. So we have to step up to the plate, both with what we offer and with our wage scale, because if we don't, you know, we won't be able to compete.
Okay, our last question from a supporter of the idea. This is a tweet from Carrie. Sean has already proved his success with the Bangor facility. Why would Maine turn away a $175 million investment, Louis?
Well, first, we don't know that $175 million will be invested. That's just not true. So, you know, we're, again, just giving one person the ability to have a casino. You know, so we're making a very big bet. And, you know, I don't think that's the proper way to use a citizen initiative process. You know, if we look at the history of Mr. Scott's transactions, he doesn't stay. He flips it, and then the states are left to kind of pick up the pieces afterwards. And Bangor is a great example. Bangor's been successful in part because after the referendum passed, as the legislature, overhauled the entire law to create a whole new system that would accommodate a casino in Maine.
All right, Sean, just a few seconds. You have the last word.
Okay. We hope everyone will come out and support Yes on Question 1. It's 2,100 new jobs. It's $45 million in tax revenue every year and a $200 million investment, along with, in addition to, a $5 million upfront license fee. The people of Maine cannot lose on Question 1. Vote yes.
That is Sean Scott. He's the primary backer of Yes on Question 1. Also here in the studio with me, Louis Lucchini, a fourth term Maine House of Representatives legislator representing Ellsworth and Trenton. Sandra Harris ran the board today. Owen Manahan answered your calls. You can find past editions of Maine Calling as well as a link to our audio archives at mainecalling.org. And today's show will be broadcast again tonight at 8. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and by Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, answers to your Affordable Care Act sign-up questions. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.